Happy 2017. Today we start out a brand new year, and I think the best thing we can do is to forget about the old year and just begin a new year. And the best way to do that, I believe, is to see how in God's words how you can be a new you in a new year. Now, this is kind of a different worship service than I've ever been used to. I don't know about you, but when I found out earlier in the week that we didn't have a worship team, nobody was here, most of the leaders are gone, I was thinking, there was a time when I would have gotten kind of discouraged. And I said, what in the world am I going to do? But you know what? After so many years of walking with the Lord, I've just decided most of the time just to turn it over to Him and say, whatever you want, Lord, that's what we're going to do. And I believe He's really working this morning. I believe He's really answering our prayer. But I want to share with you out of the book of Philippians, if you will. Turn to Philippians and turn to chapter 3. Because I believe Paul gives us a way for us to start out 2017 and to be a new you. So in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a protection for you. Watch out for dogs. Watch out for evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. Although I once had confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. But everything that was gained to me I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being confirmed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to be taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame, and they are focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what an instruction that is for us in how to live our lives. I pray, Lord, that maybe over the course of this next year, we will open this to this this word time and time again and remind ourselves of how we can be a new you, a new us, a new person, a new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will take this to heart and not only hear the words of wisdom, but also put them into practice as we just live for you our whole life, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of us will not have the unique opportunity of Alfred Nobel, who read his own obituary. It happened because of a mistaken identity. Alfred's brother died, but the news media had confused the name and thought Alfred had died. As he read his own obituary, he was horrified to find that he was referred to as the Dynamite King. He was pictured as someone who had spent his life gathering a great fortune from the manufacture of weapons of destruction. When he invented dynamite, he thought it would be an instrument of peace and that no one would want to use such deadly power. But in 1888, when he read his own obituary, he discovered that the world thought far different of him than he pictured of himself. As far as the public knew, dynamite was his whole life. There was nothing in his obituary that spoke of his efforts to break down barriers that separated people. He was merely depicted as a merchant of death, and so he made a new resolution. In his last will and testament, he made great funds available, resulting in the Nobel Peace Prize, the most valued of awards given to those who have done the most for the cause of world peace. But today, we're not going to turn to a mistaken obituary to God's words for insights. We're going to turn to God's words and insights and instruction on how each and every one of us can become a new you in a new year. I believe the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, gives a time-honored principle to us that worked in 63 AD and will work today for us. So I want to share three principles with you this morning that I think will help us as we start 2017 to maybe change our life and turn it more toward God. The first principle I would like to share with you is that if you want to make every day count, you must choose a priority. Think about this. Choose a priority in your life. What is your priority? As we sometimes miss great opportunities in life because we get sidetracked. Now, maybe some of you don't get sidetracked, but you know, I have a tendency to be sitting there doing one thing and my mind is kind of drifting off. And pretty soon, especially if I'm reading a book, have any of you ever read a book and you've turned about four pages and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know a thing about what I just read, because my mind is going to, I'm reading the words, but my mind's not comprehending them. So I think we miss a lot of great opportunities in life because we get sidetracked. I once heard a tale of a talented and gifted bloodhound in England that started a hunt by chasing a full-grown male deer. During the chase, a fox crossed his path, so he began now to chase the fox. A rabbit crossed his hunting path, so he began to chase the rabbit. After chasing the rabbit for a while, a tiny field mouse crossed his path, and he chased the mouse to the corner of the farmer's barn. The bloodhound had begun a hunt and chasing a prized male deer, and his master wound up by barking up a tiny mouse. It's a rare thing. It's a rare thing for most of us that can do three or four different things at a time, moving in different directions. The Apostle Paul knew his number one priority in life was to give his life to the honor and glory of God by preaching the gospel message. Paul had one priority, and that's Jesus Christ. Some of you may say, well, you know, maybe that was easy for Paul. He had it easy. He knew God's word, and that's all he was doing. But we have to remember, Paul's not in a plush hotel when he's writing this book, but he's in prison. He receives a report that all is not well in the church of Philippi. His very life could be ended at any moment, and the list goes on and on. But the Apostle Paul would not allow anything to cross his path that would deter him from his priority. Paul knew that his new life was a gift from God. not from the promises of humanity. You see, I think what we do sometimes is we get too caught up in the worldly things, the things of the flesh. But Paul's life was lived for his master, Jesus Christ. Nothing would sidetrack him of that priority. I ran across a news release from a business firm called White Laboratory that said that almost 98% of the atoms found in your body today were not present 1 year ago. So I guess in one sense, you are more of a new person today than you were January 1st of 2016. The Bible also talks about and witnesses about God who can make all things new. Paul declares in other portions of his writing that if any person is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The Bible talks a great deal about us being new people, but it does not have anything to do with the atoms, our physical bodies, but having the mind and attitude of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Let us look again at what Paul says in chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, beginning in verse 1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a protection for you. Watch out for dogs. Watch out for evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we who mutilate the flesh, now he's talking about believers in Jesus Christ, he says, we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision, the ones, listen to this, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God. Paul says that's how we change ourselves into a new life. We serve by the Spirit of God. It is God who works within us. He says, secondly, boast in Christ Jesus. Paul was always willing to speak of Jesus Christ no matter where he was or what he was doing. And I think to be a new person in 2017, we need to begin to start doing that. Don't have a fear of speaking about Jesus Christ, but speak about Jesus Christ wherever you go and whatever you do. Christ becomes your focal point. Then he says, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. That's where we seem to have our downfall. The world crashes in on us. The world does tremendous things to us. The world tricks us. But we put confidence in the world. When we put confidence in the world, we're going to be let down. Paul says, do not put confidence in the worldly things. Put confidence in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and focus entirely on Him. Paul said, the one thing I do is to serve Jesus Christ and Him only. This is why Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, we are to seek His kingdom first, and then the rest of our lives and priorities fall together. Remember when Jesus was teaching His disciples, and they were fretting about the worldly things. What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? Jesus said, why do you seek those things? Why do those things have such a bearing on your life? He said, but here's what you should do, and here's what we should do in 2017. Seek first. That's above all other things. Seek first His kingdom, God's kingdom, and His righteousness, God's righteousness. And all these other things shall be provided for you as well. Get our priorities straight. Seek God. Work with God. Allow Him to have our life. During the huge brush fires that occur each year, there are times that the fire is so hot and moving so fast that the firemen know they can't stop the fire or put it out, so they fall back to positions where they can save houses. You see, they had to go with their priorities. Do not lose your priority in life. You are living for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend your time doing one thing best for Christ and this church and let all the other things fall into place. Christ has to be the priority in your life. Christ's Spirit lives best in his disciples who say, "This I will do," rather than "Something ought to be done around this place." You see, if we're serving Christ, we begin to just do things for Christ and not stand back and say, "Well, somebody needs to do something." Pick a priority and then perform it to the best of your ability. The second principle Paul gives us is specific directions for living each day. Look at verse 12. Let's go back, verse 7. "But everything that was a gain to me I consider to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." You see, Paul has put all his priorities in place, and this is what his conclusion has been. "More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." How often the things come crashing down on us and we think, "Oh man, I've just lost everything." If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have lost nothing, is what Paul is saying. Everything is gain with Jesus Christ. "Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ." We heard Phil give testimony in some of the hymns that we sang today. It's that very thing. Phil found gain in Jesus Christ. We all need to find that same gain in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. My goal, Paul says, is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. You see, Paul already knows that as long as he's walking with Jesus Christ, things will be, however they turn out, will be the best because God's in control. Paul says, "Forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what is ahead." Forget about what happened in 2016. Start a new life today with Jesus Christ in 2017 and don't look back. There's an old story. Jesus told the story about one who plows the field. If he looks back, he's going to have crooked lines. He can't look back. He's got to look forward. And most of you, if you've done any farming at all, you know that when you're plowing a field, you have to focus on something that's ahead of you and stay focused on that so that your tractor goes in the straight line and your plow furrows will be straight across the field. Otherwise, when you look back, here'll be a plow field. I remember when I worked for the Green Giant Canning Company when I was in high school. One of the things that I did was I ran a pea combine for the green peas. And as you started your field, you had to start and you had to go straight through. Otherwise, you were going to be off throughout the whole field. And so you had to focus on what you were doing. Paul says that's the same thing we need to do in our lives. Focus on Jesus Christ. Forgetting what lies behind, strain forward for what is ahead. If you've ever been to a circus, you've no doubt seen the huge bull elephants that stand out around the tents, and they're just a little chain around the one leg, and it's tied to a peg in the ground, and that elephant could pull that chain out of there with no trouble at all, but why doesn't he? Because when he was a little elephant, he was chained like that, and he couldn't pull it out. And no matter how he tugged on it, he couldn't get it out of there. So when he grew up, he just realized, "I can't take that out of there. I can't get it out of the ground." He remembers only the futility of past efforts when he was a baby of trying to pull that out. And so he doesn't move forward. Paul says, everybody could benefit from having a good mental trash bag basket. Forget what lies behind you and move ahead. We are to confess our sins, place them under the blood of Jesus, and now we have been freed from the condemnation and power. Jesus can clean the slate of whatever you're going through in your life. Don't ever consider your life to be so bad that Jesus can't cleanse you. Forget both your sins and the successes of the past year and begin this year anew with God. Have you ever noticed, maybe you think a little different than I do, but I've noticed that my windshield in my car is about 50 times bigger than my rearview mirror. Have you ever noticed that? Your windshield is huge, your little rearview mirror is little. Well, when you're driving down the highway, it's probably a good thing to be looking out the windshield rather than to be driving looking in the rearview mirror, isn't it? You check the rearview mirror once in a while and you see what is behind you, but it's dangerous to drive when you only use your rearview mirror. If you live mentally and spiritually only looking backwards, you'll never get started to run the good race and to fight the good fight that God has for you by constantly looking in your rearview mirror. I told you this illustration, I think, some time ago, but it really explains looking forward with the power of God. There was a man who went into a hardware store with a chainsaw. He threw the chainsaw down at the owner's feet and said, "This is a piece of junk. You told me that I could cut down 40 trees a day and I couldn't cut down any more than 3. The owner said, "Well, maybe the teeth on the saw need to be sharpened." Once that was done, the man took the saw back home, only to return 3 days later. The man said, "It's still a piece of junk. It's a little bit better, but not much. Now I can only cut down 5 trees a day, and you said I could cut down 40. I want my money back." The store owner responded, "I don't really understand it. This is a good piece of equipment. Let's try it." The owner pulled the starter rope, and the chainsaw started right up. The man looked at it in surprise and said, "What in the world is that noise?" But I'm afraid we're kind of like that chainsaw. We haven't found out about the power. We have it, but we haven't found the power. I believe that most Christians live empty lives simply because they don't realize that God is poised to listen to their words. The power that God offers His people is a resource that you need to draw on for this new year. Don't let this year be a pity party. I've heard so much pitying going on this past few months. Woe is me, and the world's going to fall apart, and all these things are going to happen. Let's not do that this next year. But let it be God's party as we celebrate our return from a far country. You know that even a calculator has an important button on it called the clear button. Have any of you ever used that? I use it quite often. It allows you to solve the next problem on your paper. You know, I used to really get confused with this thing because you would type in a bunch of numbers and then you'd hit total and it'd give you the total and then you'd go start in again, some of the other calculators, and it would just continue on the same process. And so you'd look at it and say, "That can't be right." And then you realize, "I forgot to clear out all the old stuff before I started the new." One of the things we need to do right now, January 1st, 2016, is clear out all the old stuff and start anew with Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the third point I wanted to make this today is that Paul tells us that a new you is possible because Jesus Christ has made each of us His own. Think about that for just a minute. Let's look at what Paul says in beginning of verse 12. "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I have made every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus." Let that just sink in for a minute. Paul says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I have, but I make every effort to take hold of it. You see, just make every effort you can to take hold of what God has for you, because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has taken hold of each and every one of us. What a comfort that is to know we're walking not alone. Emmanuel, we learned in Christmas time, means God's with us. Christ has, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has taken hold of you. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. You see, there's a way to check your maturity in Jesus Christ. It's by how you think. Do you think the way Paul does, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead? I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. That is our goal. That is our focus for 2017. Change your way from the worldly things of this flesh to the heavenly things of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on and says, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. And if it's nothing more than I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that is enough. Believe in that and live in that and focus on Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a prayer by Reverend Dr. Kenneth G. Pfeiffer from a book titled A Book of Uncommon Prayer. Maybe some of you have read it. It was written for New Year's Eve, and because it reinforces some of the ideas and imagery I have today, I thought it would be a good closing to our work today. It goes like this. Eternal God, before whom we are creatures of the day and children of the hours, I did not expect the sorrow that was thrust upon me. I was surprised by the turn of events that hanged my life. I look back, I remember how different life a year ago was. The slow, quiet erosion of the days has gone on, and I'm quite the same person, and I'm not quite the same person I was, for better or for worse. I've had a whole year to grow in love or to fall out of love, to turn my hands to constructive tasks or to turn away in idleness. I have had a whole year, no matter what I have done or failed to do, O Lord, keep me from dwelling on it too much. If I have failed, help me to put my failure behind me. If I have done well, help me be glad but not complacent. There are other hills to climb and new hopes to be realized. I know, O God, you understand my need to look back for a while, wistfully peering at the past. But start me looking forward. I do not know what events are ahead, but I do know you are there, and I am grateful. Amen. This prayer will help you get to keep living and connect you to the power that will enable you to keep on keeping on. Jesus Christ is the power. He holds you in His hands. It is the truth, and it awaits your discovery. It's 100% guaranteed. Yes, because the Lord is faithful, there can be a new year, a new you in a new year, when your focus is on Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time we've had just to share your word a little bit and what Paul has said to us about being a new person this new year. Lord, help us to just focus on you in this year of 2017. Let it begin today as we put our priority in place that you are first in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.